We stay in Kenya now, where this weekend an investigator known for exposing the ivory and rhino horn trade was killed at his home in Nairobi. Esmond Bradley Martin has been called a pioneer in his field, exposing demand and prices in the illegal wildlife trade. His work helped pressure China to outlaw the rhino horn trade in 1993 and to shut down its illegal ivory trade just last month. Martin moved from the United States to Africa in the 1970s. His death is a blow to the wildlife conservation community. Dr. Paula Kahumbu is an ecologist and CEO of the elephant protection group Wildlife Direct. She knew Esmond Martin, and she joins me now from Nairobi. Dr. Kahumbu, welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Esmond Bradley Martin was found stabbed in his home. What do you and your colleagues know about his death? And I wonder if you suspect if it was connected to his work against the ivory trade and poaching.
The only thing that we know is what the police have reported, that he was found dead in his home by his wife on Sunday afternoon at about 5 o'clock. He had just come back from a lunch with a group of conservationists inside Nairobi National Park, and they have not revealed any other details. So do I think it's related to his work? I don't think so. I'm not aware of any threats that have ever been made against him. And I don't have any recollection of him ever expressing fear for his life.
Well, let's talk about that life. Tell me about Esmond Bradley Martin and how he made an impact on the illegal wildlife trade.
Esmond is an American citizen. He moved to Kenya more than 40 years ago, and he studied, he read widely, and he chose to put his time towards understanding the illegal rhino horn trade at first, and later on the ivory trade. Almost all of his research was outside of Kenya. And he basically would go into areas and talk to people and record evidence of ivory trade. He would record the presence of items in shops, their prices, the types of items. He would talk to government officials, go into factories, and observe what was happening in those places.
How did all this work, all of this recording, all of this research on the ivory trade work to put pressure on governments, on regulators, police, to shut down ivory markets in places like China and elsewhere?
Some of the most important work that he did was in China, because the Chinese government had been denying that illegal ivory was appearing in their factories or in their retail stores. So Esmond's work basically revealed that the price of ivory was rising very rapidly, considering the small amount of ivory that went into China in 2008. And not only was the price of ivory increasing, but the volume of ivory was far too great to reflect the amount of ivory that China had bought. That, I think, began to put pressure on the Chinese authorities to look into it themselves. For the longest time, they just denied it, and they said it was the ivory that they had bought. And I think Esmond's most recent work revealed that China was playing an unprecedented role in the slaughter of elephants across Africa. And eventually they did back down, acknowledged they had a problem. They tried to put in place more stringent measures, you know, better enforcement or more active work on arresting people and prosecuting them. But I think it was very clear. China is such a large country. It's almost impossible to track down all the people who are trading illegally. The fact that even one shop is open selling ivory means that ivory can be laundered into that shop without buyers knowing whether what they're buying is legal or illegal ivory.
Well, Dr. Kahumbu, poaching and illegal ivory sales continue, but there have been significant crackdowns, as you mentioned, in China and other places. What's Esmond Martin's legacy?
One of the things that Esmond proved was that legal market of ivory in China were actually the places where illegal ivory were being laundered. And in a way, his legacy will be a conclusion that trade in an endangered species is extremely dangerous, because there is nothing that you can do to stop those markets. Once you open them up, it's almost like a free fall.
Dr. Paula Kahumbu with Wildlife Direct on the death of her friend, Esmond Bradley Martin. Dr. Kahumbu, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.